Welcome back to Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I want to go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line because joining us now, as she does every week at this time, it's our ESPN NFL insider, our fantasy football expert, and our injury expert all in one. It's Stefania Bell. Stefania, thanks for being with us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good as well. And interesting week here in Patriots country. Rob Gronkowski gets the suspension on Monday for his late hit on Bills defensive back Tre'Davious White. First and foremost, what did you think of the hit when you saw it?
Didn't like it. I mean, it was pretty obvious. There was enough of a delay that it was clear that Gronk thought about it and then came back and jumped on him. And, you know, it was just that picture of a player who's face down, who doesn't know it's coming. Gronk is not small. You know, there was a lot of, between his body weight and the fact that he got airborne, that his arm comes down, he wears a brace on that one arm. I mean, there was just a lot of things. And I actually wondered, like, what is he doing? Why is he doing this? Especially in this day and age when we're talking about safety more and more. Yeah. It just seems so out of character too. I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, we enjoy him in the league. He's done things right when it comes to how he behaves on the field. I mean, the thing we all laugh about is him spiking the ball. So it just really stood out to me as an isolated incident, but one that definitely needed to be addressed.
Tre'Davious White enters the concussion protocol, and in this era of worrying about head trauma and head injuries, this was a tough week for the NFL. We saw Tre'Davious White in that play, Ryan Shazier on Monday Night Football. I mean, the NFL continues to have to worry about this stuff.
I think they will going forward. And I think, you know, there's been conversation now this week, perhaps more than at any point so far this season, about the importance of players policing themselves. I don't know if that's the language I would use, but players need to be a part of the process. And you can make all the rules you want, but if the players show complete disregard for those rules at times, as you can see, it only takes one hit, one episode for things to escalate to a point where they're regrettable. And for me, it's been a tough week of watching because I've seen things I think, well, they know better than this. I mean, you could even go back to where Russell Wilson and the whole issue where he was basically motioned to the sideline by the official and basically went in and ducked out of the medical tent before he could be evaluated, regardless of whether he thought he was fine or not. And I know the league is investigating this, and I don't have all the information, but certainly there was enough on video to show you that nobody evaluated him. And as a player, you have to speak up. Now, we are seeing players do more to report symptoms after the fact. You know, they are coming forward if they believe they have suffered a concussion. And that's really important because self-reporting is key to helping manage the condition. But they have to be mindful in terms of not – look, you can't protect against all hits. They're going to happen in football, and I think people understand that. But when you see deliberate actions – of violence, for lack of a better word, from one player against another, especially when one player is in a defenseless position, I think the league has to respond.
Stefania, I want to go back to Gronk for a second. I want to provide some context on this. So Tre'Davious White goes into the concussion protocol. Going back a few years in baseball, remember the Chase Utley slide where he slid into Ruben Tejada and we had the Chase Utley slide rule now? So I was in the minority. At the time, I didn't think that slide was dirty. But Tejada broke his leg, so I felt that because Tejada broke his leg, that's why Utley was suspended. The league felt like they had to suspend Utley because Tejada got hurt. Do you think if White doesn't get a concussion, Gronk isn't suspended? Do you think the fact that he did get hurt meant the league had to suspend Gronk?
It's an interesting question. I certainly can't say what was in their minds, but I will say this. We looked at players who were suspended prior to the Gronk incident for fighting, and part of the issue around those fights was concerns about player safety because it all rolls together. If we're going to be talking about player safety and suspending people for helmet-to-helmet contact, then if they're swiping at each other's heads, we definitely have to take them out. I think the fact that it was a deliberate act, I think if they had just collided and that had happened, we wouldn't be having the same conversation. I mean, there might have been a fine for a helmet to helmet, because we know that many of those that get fined, they're not intentional, but they're trying to change the player's technique or tactics, if you will. But in this case, it was the intent. And I know it's hard to say, to speak about intent, because you're trying to, you can't get in the mind of what was going on with the player. But we can say this, it was after the play.
Yeah.
It was not part of the play. So whatever the intent was, which we don't presume to fully know, it was after the play. And that gave them the door to deliver a punishment. And had they not, it certainly would have not been good optics, I don't believe, for a league that is talking so much about player safety. So I think it had to be done regardless of whether White suffered an injury or not. And it's unfortunate that he did, but I think it only serve to put an exclamation point on the situation.
Stefania Bell of ESPN with us here on Champlain Valley Game Night, as she is every Wednesday at this time on 101.3 ESPN. I want to know something medically. We've talked a lot about the Giants and how injuries have derailed their season, and we focused a lot on Brandon Marshall and Odell Beckham Jr., but another one of their young receivers, Sterling Shepard, he's missed a couple of games this year, and the reason why is migraine headaches. What exactly goes on in a migraine? I don't even know how people become, you know, like I can remember Percy Harvin getting migraines a lot. I don't know why guys are more prone to them, and what exactly happens.
Well, it's certainly something you could spend a whole, you know, you could spend an hour talking about this topic, and it's actually gotten me to thinking that one of my Answering the Bell podcasts, where I take these medical topics and do a deeper dive, I think we might be heading to one on migraines, because it's certainly not my particular area of expertise, and there are people who specialize in this area. That's how vast it is. And I can tell you this from being a physical therapist, sometimes there is a cervical and neck component to headaches. Migraines are often largely thought to be vascular issues. And so I think the people who study this and who know the most about it will tell you that one of the most important things is identifying the triggers, the source, sort of the pattern of the headaches, and then working from there. And if you listen to Sterling Shepard speak about it, he said that he's had migraines since he was a kid, but they had been far less common since childhood. So I think sometimes you think, well, this is basically behind me. And then something happened for him to develop migraines again. And I think now that that's been the case, he's got to get back with the medical folks and figure out, okay, how do we manage this going forward? And apparently just this week, Alex Collins from the Ravens, yeah, now also dealing with migraines. So it's a very real issue. I would caution anyone who thinks, oh, it's a headache. You could just, no, this is a very real issue, and they have to be managed individually. And I think that's really the challenge. It's not like there's an automatic, easy answer when you're dealing in season and you're looking at a calendar or a schedule. That doesn't always fit with how complex the injury is.
Stefania, let's move to an injury that has some positive momentum behind it right now, and that's Aaron Rodgers, the Packers quarterback. He's practicing again, and it looks like he's all set to come back this season. The team's 6-6 right now. Is Aaron going to be 100% when he comes back?
Yeah, they keep winning, and it keeps making it more and more likely that he does. Like, they certainly wouldn't push him back if he weren't ready, but you're right. If there was zero reason to come back, you wonder if it would even be in the conversation. We have to remember, the rehab doesn't stop either just because the team has a particular record. So it's him moving through the steps of rehabilitation would be happening. But the fact that they're actually bringing him back into practice, he did practice on Saturday, and now he's doing sort of this combo of rehab work and practice, I think that signaled to us that they are planning on bringing him back, assuming everything goes well. Obviously, there are progressions to be made. He's got to get his full strength and endurance back. They need to be confident from any imaging studies they do that he is healed to the point where they feel good about him returning. There are no guarantees. I mean, if he does return in week 15 and he takes the right kind of hit, even if the fracture has healed, the bone internally is still remodeling for several months. And there's a risk of, if you strike it right around the hardware, that might be a more vulnerable area. So to say that he could come back and they could be guaranteed he wouldn't refracture, that's not possible. But they can feel pretty secure in the notion that he is unlikely to refracture. Yeah. If it shows good healing. So I do think you're going to see him back. Everything's pointing to it, as you say.
Stephania Bell, ESPN, with us, also our fantasy football expert. So I want to head towards fantasy football. A lot of leagues headed to the playoffs this week or just 1 week away from the playoffs. So let's talk about some of our playoff questions. One, Matt Ryan's the MVP of the league, but he put up a dud in terms of statistical productivity this weekend. Is Matt Ryan, the reigning MVP of the league, a quarterback we should consider not playing in the fantasy playoffs?
It's sad, right?
Yeah.
it's possible that you would think that. You know, it's interesting because he actually has a few good weeks coming up, and he's shown some signs of life lately. I mean, last week was not good, but the Vikings are playing out of their mind, and who would have thought that that situation would be what it was? But if you look at the 3 weeks before that, his completion percentages were up over 70%. He was throwing for more yardage, 317 yards in week 12, as compared to the 173 you saw last week. So, I do think New Orleans has been a little thin in their secondary. That's who they face next. I think you're going to see a lot of passing there. But it always depends on your options, you know. And
yeah.
if you have somebody who you know is going to deliver you more yards, who's going to be airing the ball out, then maybe that's a better option for you. You know, right now it's hard because we've seen so many ups and downs with the quarterbacks. Across the league, that there's not even anyone who's putting up consistently great numbers. If you had a quarterback like Russell Wilson, I doubt you have a Russell Wilson and a Matt Ryan. But if you were to be lucky enough to have that, I'm looking for a quarterback who can use his legs, who might deliver you more fantasy points in that regard. Tyrod Taylor is a quarterback you would have potentially considered because he is a dual threat, but he's banged up now too. So you're not going to get the rushing yardage out of him. I don't know that. It really would depend on my options, and I don't know that I'm running away from Matt Ryan, but you are nervous about which Matt Ryan you're going to see because he hasn't been the MVP this year for sure.
You talk about the Falcons. They're taking on the Saints on Thursday Night Football, and, well, the Saints have arguably the most valuable fantasy player in the world right now in Alvin Kamara. Just how good has this rookie been?
I mean, I don't know that there are enough superlatives to talk about how good he's been. I mean, and, you know, him being so good has helped Mark Ingram. I mean, really, once they moved Adrian Peterson, who turned out to not be a great fit for them at all of a sudden, they looked really good with this 1-2 punch of Ingram and Kamara, and both of them are used in the passing game. Kamara is definitely, like, the lighted up explosive player, and I think he's just so fun to watch. Beyond, you know, if you're picking one, he's probably your number one at this point. I mean, we were talking on our podcast about the potential for coming into next season looking at Kamara as one of your top five overall picks in fantasy for next year. He's been that good.
Unbelievable. Stephania Bell, our ESPN fantasy football expert, our NFL insider, and our injury expert, wrapped up all in one. Lucky to have her on every Wednesday at this time. Stephania, enjoy week 14. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Have a great week.